morning, if we can at all. And I got a message from Brother Dennis. If he was here last night, I want you to write down Galatians 6:10. We're going to be looking in chapter 18 and 19 just a little bit this morning. We want to try to help you just a little bit. We want you to think about some things, and I'm sure we'll find something here for everybody. All right? Everybody okay? All right, well, let's pray together, can we? Father, we come, and you are so wonderful to us that you've encouraged and blessed us this week. Lord, you've got so much more. And Lord, I want it all. And Lord, I believe we as a church want it all. Lord, we want everything you got that we might be more like you. Lord, you give us material things. All of us has got far more than we've ever thought of having. And far more than we've ever raised with, that's for sure. And Father, I thank you for that. But the other blessings that you give, friends and family, a Savior, a wonderful Savior, a constant companion of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I thank you for all that. And thank you that I can lean on you, Lord, through everything. And I do thank you for Mama, and thank you for Daddy. Lord, I'm glad that they taught me right and they taught me to follow you. Help me, though, to remember that you are all that I need. You're enough. Thank you for being enough. Help me now, I pray. Search me, cleanse me. There be nothing that hindered. And Lord, may I help this people this morning. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, I'm sorry if Dennis is not here. You're going to have to go back to the old standby, all right? We'll get him back as soon as we can, all right? But we talk about revival. Well, we've had revival. I've had revival, and I'd like to see more of it, but I believe I've had revival anyway, and I believe our church has had revival. I can say that. Well, may I say this? If you wanted revival, you got revival. And if you didn't want it, then you definitely didn't get it. But if you wanted revived, it was here and available. And it ought to stir you up a little bit, and because the Word of God was preached in abundance, that's for sure. And I've thought about all the Word of God that we did hear from. And I want to think about something here just for real quick. And if you weren't here, you need to go back and listen. But I want to remind us of some things. You know, last Sunday morning, he preached to us that we don't need to leave the same way we come. Well, that ought to be a standard. We might have to put that on the wall somewhere. Maybe when we go outside, that would be a good place when you're going out the hallway. Where's Kathy and Elise? Y'all just go ahead and make us something. Don't leave the same way you came, and put it on the wall above the door going out at, right there at the nursery. All right, we want to see that somewhere. We don't want to leave the same way we came. We want God to do a work in our heart. Well, that's what we heard last Sunday morning. And then he preached to us last Sunday, hey, what do you want from this revival? And I hope that you got what you wanted. If not, don't quit praying for it, all right? Monday night, we heard that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Tuesday night, we heard about one greater than Solomon was here. And that might be one of the greatest messages I've ever heard. Wednesday night, maybe the simplest salvation message I've ever heard is looking to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Huh? Thursday night, we heard he's the God of miracles. Friday night, we heard that he's enough, the Lord's enough. And last night, we heard about him, this same Jesus. And that's what I got to hear. I don't know what all you heard. Now, I heard a lot in between there. Man, a lot. Me and Boyd laugh, and Rick, we laugh, and Dennis, we laugh at how many more messages they are. But that's revival. And I want us to think about revival. I know there'll be many that won't be here tonight because of going with mothers and everything, and I anticipated that. But I feel like the Lord wants me to help you that was here in revival, that I might encourage you. Now, if you weren't here this week, there'll still be something here. But I want you to think about where we go from here. where do we go from here? We got stirred a little bit. Where do we go? What do we do? What can we expect? What's going on in our life? Well, let's look at a few things, and we're going to see about what revival really is, and see if maybe you didn't experience revival, and if not, you still can. All right, just because the meeting's over don't mean you can't be revived. A lot of missed opportunities. A lot of people couldn't come, didn't come, and so you missed out. A lot of people that come unsaved, they had the opportunity to be saved, but they chose not to be, but yet you still can. Just because the meeting's over don't mean God's done. Now, everybody understand that? God will be done when we're out of here. All right, but until then, there's room for you to move up closer. There's room for you to be saved. There's room for you to just keep on with the Lord. So don't let the devil slick you. Now, one of the most common things and most serious thing is after revival that you get slick from what has taken place. Because you are used to coming to church every night. And I don't know about you, but I'd do better if I'm in church every day. I don't know whether you do or not, but if I'm in church every day, I find it easier to live right. And when I'm away from the house of God, I find it harder. And if you lay out, it's almost impossible. Everybody hearing me? So think about that. But let's look at 1 Kings real quick. We're just going to go through some verses real quick here to get to the message. And I want you to pay close attention. 1 Kings is about Elijah and his meeting with Ahab, and then his confrontation with the false prophets on Mount Carmel. And when you read about that, what you really see is a good and great example of revival and what ought to happen really in our life in a constant way, if you would. But I want you to think about here. We'll start in 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at verse 25 just to start with. It says that Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves, then dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. The first thing I see in verse 25 is a choice. All right, I want you to understand that when we come into the church house, when we live our life every day, when we have revival, there's always a choice. And we made some choices this week. We made some choices. And I want you to think about the choices you make. Now, we're going to go through real quick here. I want you to drop down to verse 30. And it says that Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Well, when we think about revival, think about church, think about our life, there's some things that has to be chose. And then when you come down to it, we need the first act that we ought to do is start repairing some altars. And revival means that we should have repaired our altar this week. And I'm going to ask you, do not answer me, but I'm going to ask you, did you get your altar repaired this week? Did you make some choices, and did you repair your altar this week, and we could get where God wanted us to be? Think about that, all right? We still okay? Now, let's go down to verse 32. It says, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. You know, there's not much ever said about the trench that was built around the altar that Elijah made before they had the battle. But can I tell you, there's something about repairing the altar and then digging a ditch around it that you separate yourself from the altar you've repaired. You need to separate yourself from the world. You repaired your altar. Now, don't go back to where you was. You follow me? Don't go back to that. Repair the altar and then dig a trench around it and have some separation in the decisions you make. Are we okay? Think about that. Just some little simple thoughts here. Then we go on down to verse 33, down through 35, and we're not going to read all of that for the sake of time, but it talks about putting the wood in order, cutting the bullock in pieces, putting the wood in order, filling the 4 barrels with water, Now, they filled four barrels of water in a time of drought. Can I tell you, revival comes in a time of drought. When we're dried up a little bit, there's water provided when there's a drought. I don't care how dry you are, there's water provided. But they didn't waste it, although people think they did. They poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood, and they done it three times. All right? And verse 35 says, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Talks about sacrifice, and that stands for sacrifice, and Holy Spirit power, and intercession, and all of that comes in when you look at the examples of the water in the trench. Are we still okay? I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about getting stirred up for God. I'm talking about you in your life getting stirred up for the Lord and staying stirred up for the Lord. See, we're so prone to get stirred and then forget it. All right? I see people now. I know we're all ball crazy in this nation anymore. I mean, we're so addicted to sports and everything. And I see some people that watch it. I see some people that watch it occasionally. But then I see these fanatics. They wear the jerseys. They got the flags on their car. They've got the ribbons. They've got the banners. If you go in their house, they got a room decorated just for their team and all the stuff, there's trophies and dogs and bears and all this stuff, you know, and they're into it. I mean, and the reason they're into it is because that's what excites them. And that's okay. If that's what excites you, that's fine. I mean, I like deer heads and guns and boxes of shells laying around. I'm the same way when it comes to hunting, all right? I like that. But it's because of what excites us. Can I tell you, when we come to revival, we ought to be excited about it all the time and not just let it be a week, okay? You understand, it ought to be a year-long thing that we ought to be stirred up for the Lord. And what Elijah is doing here is showing what happens really when revival comes. All right? Everybody still with me? Drop down to verse 38. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell. Well, that's full-blown revival, when the fire of the Lord falls, all right? We still okay. But can I tell you, when the fire falls, then there's things that happens in a church, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. There's things that happen in a church when revival comes that the false prophets have to leave. That there's things that die out that you're not willing to be fought or aggravated or being tormented by the false prophets anymore, that a change has taken place. If there's no change taking place in you, then there's something missing. It's either salvation to start with, or it's revival that has been missing. And there ought to be a change. See, we're living in a day where we're part-time Christians and full-time sinners. All right, we come to church occasionally and we want to live a Christian life. Hear me today. You can't come to church occasionally, read your Bible occasionally, pray occasionally, and be a full-time Christian. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. And we have full-time problems, and we have a full-time enemy, and we have full-time trials, and we need to be full-time when it comes to living for the Lord. But that's not the way it is. But I'm afraid that when we really see the fire fall, when we really see it fall, then there's going to be some prophets, false prophets that lose their heads, and they're not going to have the influence in our life that they used to have. Can you agree to that? That's what revival is, moving up. That's moving up. All right, that's cleaning out, moving up. And we ought to have some things that die out there in our life. Think about that. Now, we go on and we read down through 42. We're just all introduction now. Just hang with me real quick here. 42 through 46. We'll see now. There's going to be rain come. Fire falls. They sung it the other night. Lord, send the fire, send the rain. That's what they sung. They said, we're ready for revival. Send the fire, send the rain. Yeah. Yeah, and then what y'all sung Thursday night, when that Thursday night you sung that? Hmm? Are you listening to me? Well, rain come. Now, when the fire falls and the rain comes, there's a supernatural strength in the church. Supernatural strength. Now, if we want to look about results of revival, Brother Dennis told us last night, we're not going to know it today. We're going to know it in the weeks to come. All right? We're tired today. We're tired physically. Work all week, church all, every night, travel, miles, everything going on. People had colds and trying to get sick and all kinds of things went on. All right? You had adversity this past week that you normally wouldn't have, but you have that when you have revival. That happens, okay? But can I tell you that when the rain comes and the fire falls, then there's supernatural strength. How do I know that? Well, the Scripture says that Elijah outrun the chariot. All right? Now, I don't care. I've had horses and I rode in buggies. I've wrecked horses and buggies, but I've had horses and buggies, and I can't keep up with no horse on no buggy. I can't keep up with a horse in second gear. I can if he's in first gear. I could probably trot. But when they move up to second gear, anybody know what I'm talking about on a horse, second gear? You got first gear, that's just that lob. Then you got that piggy up space is number two. Then you got the hold on, number three. And then you scream at gear four. Okay? All right? Well, can I tell you, if he was out running the chariot, I doubt that he was plodding along. When Elijah outrun the chariot, I bet he was going far ball mail back to the house. All right? And Elijah outrun him. You know why? Because he had some supernatural power. Can I tell you tonight or today, when we have revival, there ought to be a supernatural power that comes into the church. But when it comes, there's going to be adversity. When you get closer to the Lord, there's going to be adversity. If you're not saved today, and you would choose Christ, which you should choose Christ today to be saved, it'll be the best time of your life. But it's not going to be a trouble-free life. There's going to be some things that's going to attack you. Now, your old friends, you're not going to have to probably separate yourself from your old friends. If you get truly saved, they're going to want to kind of shy away from you. It's going to hurt your feelings. And you're going to be put in a position to make some decisions. Because you know you can't do what you used to do. You don't have that desire. You ain't going to say what you say. You ain't going to go where you used to go. And that's going to cause, and they're going to ask you, why? 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 And you're going to have to tell them, well, the old man's dead. Yeah, that's what the song says. The friends come and ask you, how come you ain't painting the town red anymore? Well, the old man's dead. I'm changed. That's what happens when new life comes in. And that's what ought to happen to a church, all right, that we don't want to go back to the way we were. Everybody with me this morning? But that's not the message. That's just some thoughts, all right? What I want you to look at is chapter 19. All right? Give me just a few minutes here, and I want to show you something here in chapter 19. See, where do we go from here? We have revival. Now, can I put you on a spot? And if you was here this week, if you feel like, and know in your heart and your mind, that it may not be to some great degree, but you feel like things is a little better than they was before this past week, I wonder if you lift your hand. That's most everybody was here. See, now, I'm still not where I want to be, but I've tried to gain a little bit of ground. You know, I've enjoyed the Lord so much this week. And I've enjoyed the preaching. The singing has been one. The young people has blessed my heart this week singing before the service. And Wednesday night, they rang my bell Wednesday night. But all the singing, even the young ladies that sung last night. Y'all young ladies, y'all done great last night. All right? Ava and Hannah, done good this morning. That's encouraged me. I've been praying for the young people. I've been praying there'd be a revival in the young people, that they be a stir in them, and they testifying and testifying the other Sunday and today, and what a joy, all right? But can I tell you, there's things that some things ain't going to change, all right? Some things have changed, but some things we're going to have to come over. So I want to help you just for a minute, if I could. It's where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? What do we do now? What do we do now? All right? Revival meeting's over. So what happens? Well, we can't go back and do it now. But what do I need tomorrow? Well, first thing I ought to do is about 10 o'clock, I ought to find me a place to pray tomorrow. All right? 3 o'clock, I ought to find me a place to pray. And if you can't do it at 3, then drop down to 7. All right? But you ought to get in your mind. Now, you ought to been already in a schedule that you're praying at time. And that's going to help you. It already helped you. All right? And start praying for Wednesday night and praying for Sunday. But don't quit praying for revival. All right? But here's what happened. Now, everybody hang with me, and we'll give you, and we'll talk fast, all right? So I want you to listen to me. Elijah has done confronted Ahab. He's done confronted the prophets. He done laughed at them, made fun of them. They sacrificed. They cut themselves. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe went on vacation. He waited after they got done jumping and jiving and doing everything that they're going to do. He repaired the altar. Watered it down, made the sacrifice, fire fell, it rained like cats and dogs, like it hadn't rained for 3.5 years, and then it happened. Revival on the mountain, and then something happens. What happens? The enemy says, I'm after you now. I'm going to tear you up like a can of crap. Huh? That's what's going to happen. And we pick up in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with how he had slain all the prophets. You know, Elijah didn't just make fun of them prophets. After the fire fell, then he laid them all out. Now, it didn't say Elijah and his helpers. That Elijah clipped the heads off 450 of them. Now, he didn't just punch them in the mouth and say, shut up. He clipped their heads off so they wasn't going to say no more. And you say, well, that's awful. Well, that's just the way it was. All right? And he clipped their heads off. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how hard it is to clip somebody's head off. But he had to have been tarred after clipping 450 heads off, then running 15 miles. He had to be in rough shape, wouldn't you figure? All right? But he got his point across that they wasn't going to have the idolatry no more. Wasn't going to call out the bell no more, not on my watch. We're not going the devil's way on my watch. I wonder how many this morning would go ahead and take a stand and say, we're not going to let the devil run things on my watch. Huh? You ought to make that commitment this morning. Hey, we ain't going back. Well, I'm not going to run with the devil's crowd no more. I'm not going to do that. I'm taking a stand now. All right? But, says they had told Jezebel all Elijah had done, with how he slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel sent word to Elijah, I'm going to kill you. I want you all to look at me right now. You're going to have revival relapse this week. You're going to get jumped right a straddle of. The job ain't going to go smooth. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to warn you. There's going to be home trouble. They may be neighbor trouble. They may be town trouble. All right? You're going to have a hard time getting on time to work. You're going to want to speed. You may get speed. There's all kinds of things that might aggravate you this week. And what it is because you decided to move up. Well, the battle's hotter when you move up. And you're not going to get by without some adversity. Satan is going to do his best to try to destroy you. Now, he already wants to destroy you if you're a Christian. He wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to tear you up. And you need to be ready for that. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm not trying to discourage you, but if I didn't warn you, I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't warn you of things that might come. So when it comes, you say, well, he says he's going to do it now, so set yourself. All right? Don't let it get you by surprise. All right? Some of you guys, you might have burnt toast this week. You might have a hard egg and you like them running. Huh? Supper might not be on time. Huh? Might not have no sugar in your Kool-Aid. Huh? May not. Huh? Might just be plain. Are you hearing me? It may not go just right. Your boss may decide that you need to work harder. That you ain't doing enough. But he takes stuff away from you. So you can't work your job anyway, but he wants to double the quantity of what you need to dig down. Yeah, anybody ever had that happen? Huh? Might lose a calf or two this week. Huh? That cow was late having calves. Might not be able to have a calf this week. Huh? Might go out to grease your baler and you find out you got a broke chain and your knotters ain't going to work and you get all tore up because it's going to be, hey, I mean, there's going to be things happen that's going to try to lose your focus from revival and everything because Satan wants to destroy you. There's going to be lies told about you this week. There's going to be people that's going to lie on you and cause you trouble, try to hurt your testimony, your integrity, to try to get you to lose your temper or to lash out. You say, well, you're crazy. That's discouraging. Well, I'm just telling you, you're in a war. You're in a war. Hey, do you understand when you're in a war? You know, they don't play chess to see who wins. They shoot you and cut you. I was watching a video the other day about the prisoner of war, and I forget his name, but he acted like he was stupid and like he couldn't ride and told goofy, and they kind of let him have the run of the mill of the camp because they thought he was so crazy. But he remembered by memory to the tune of Old MacDonald. He remembered every prisoner's name, their date of capture, where they was in the service, and he recited it, and even up to the day he died, he could still sing it to the tune of Old MacDonald about all the things in the prison camp. And he was able to remember all the ones who was tortured, how they was tortured. See, they didn't just go in there and feed them big meals because of the enemy. They was cruel, and they pulled their fingernails off, and they cut them, and they would. The enemy in Vietnam, you know what they did? I'm going to tell you. I'm trying to tell you what the enemy's going to do to you. That they would take an American soldier, and they would behead the American soldier, gut him, put his head in his belly, and send him back to camp. That's what they done to our boys in Vietnam. That's pretty gruesome. All right? You know why? It was war. You're in a war this morning, and Satan is after you, and he's wanting to destroy you, and he's wanting to do anything he can to get you from staying on that higher plane than what you've decided to go on. Now you say, well, then I shouldn't do it. Well, can I tell you, if you don't do it, it'll be worse.
Yep, you're right.
Because you're just going to be running with him.
Right.
Does everybody understand? I'm trying to encourage you. Don't think I'm trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you that there is adversity in advancement. It always has been. It always will be. He's going to try to intimidate you. He's going to try to bluff you. He's going to try to deceive you. He's going to tell you lies about others. He's going to tell you lies about yourself. You're going to assume things this week. Listen to me. Don't be assuming nothing this week. He's going to call you to assume things about others. Because they're busy, or they didn't speak, or they didn't come by, or this, and he's going to fill your mind with lies and deceit and assumptions to try to get you off at our... That's what the enemy... Can I tell you, it don't just happen at revival. He does it every day. And we need to be aware of that. Now, that's the bad news. That's just the bad news. But... All right? I just want you to understand, revival come. Hallelujah for revival. Hallelujah, we can come to church every night. I was here to have 10 or 12 week revival myself. I sat right here. I almost had Dennis to go ahead and say, well, how about go next week? He said last night he could go again. Do you notice last night he preached harder last night than he did first of week? He was just getting lined out to preach a little bit, I believe. Huh? Listen to me. It's safer. It's safer in the house of God. But there's help here now. Listen this morning. There's help for you here this morning. Some of you are lost without God. There's help for you this morning. Some of you haven't grabbed a hold of revival. You had a chance, but you never grabbed a hold of it. There's help for you this morning. Huh? Some of you fighting battle. Hey, there's help for you this morning. But you got to take it. You ought to take it. Now we find something happened. I'm not going to read all this scripture. You can read it yourself in a minute. I may read another or two in a minute. But we know the story about Elijah. Elijah ran. All right, instead of running where he was supposed to be, see, Elijah was a prophet to Israel, the northern kingdom, and he ran to Judah, the southern kingdom. He ran the wrong way. Be careful that you don't run the wrong way this week. Does everybody understand me? Be careful you don't run the wrong way. But wherever you run, now ain't nobody with common sense runs into a fight if you can get away from it. All right? But can I tell you there's help if you do run? Where do we find Elijah running to? It says he ran and he found himself under a jupiter tree. You know, it's the only place in your Bible you're going to find a jupiter tree. Now, you'll find something about jupiter wood where they make something out of. But you're not going to find a jupiter tree no other place than in this passage of Scripture. Now, everybody talks about how low and bad Elijah was for getting under a jupiter tree. Can I tell you, somebody made the jupiter tree. There weren't but one of them in the Bible. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that jupiter tree is a good example of the cross. Huh? Because Elijah went and found shelter under the jupiter tree. And the jupiter tree puts off some kind of smell or oil that venomous snakes don't like to get around. And that people that live in a desert place will rub that oil on them when they got to go out in the wilderness to keep the snakes away from them. Can I tell you, that might have been a good wise thing for Elijah to get under a jupiter tree where the old serpent, that old devil, don't get in there and wear you out. Can I tell you, the cross is my jupiter tree this morning. Yeah. And that jupiter tree didn't have just one stalk, one trunk going up, but it branched out. And it puts its branches out like that and forms a shade and shelter. Can I tell you that I'm sheltered in the cross of Christ and I'm coming out of revival. I'm coming out of where God stirred my heart. And I'm going to try to get near the cross. If I got to run because of the battle, I'm going to run to Christ is where I'm going to run to. We still okay? See, I see Satan right now, but I see the supply of God being a plenty. We still okay? All right? Then we get on down there in chapter 19. It says he went to sleep. Can I tell you? I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired. My body's tired. A little sleep ain't going to hurt nobody. Huh? A little sleep ain't going to hurt. You just can't stay asleep. Huh? A little rest. Jesus said, let's come apart and rest a while. If you read the New Testament where Jesus was performing miracle after miracle after miracle, the disciples was running with him, he's traveling all over the place. He said, now, come away and let's rest a little while. Huh? We okay with that? It ain't going to hurt us to rest a little bit this week. It ain't going to hurt us. We've seen God move and God answer some prayers and do some things. Well, let's come apart and rest a little while. That's all right. But can I tell you when Elijah rested? Now, usually you'll never find that scripture preached positive. It's always negative about Elijah. But it ain't negative. My Bible's not negative. My Bible's positive. My wrongs are negative. But when it comes to the Lord, He's positive. We okay with that? Listen to me. He got there and was resting. And what did the Lord provide? The Lord fed him. Woke him up, fed him, and Elijah went back to sleep. The angel didn't say, get up and quit sleeping. He woke him up and fed him and let him go back to sleep. The Lord wants to feed you and let you rest because of the battles we fight and the things we've done and experienced. Are you listening to me this morning? Yes. And then it goes on. Then he fed him again. Yes. And it was good enough eating that he went 40 days. Yes. Now let me tell you something. I don't know what he eats. But if it done him 40 days, that's a pretty good meal. Now, I've cooked some good meals. I've eaten some good meals. Huh? I've eaten some stuff, and boy, I said, man, ain't nothing like this. I've cooked some meals, watched Becky clap and everything else at my table. And we've had a good time, but we never could go 40 days, though, could we? Huh? Huh? Now, we probably, some of us could go 40 days and never miss it. But I'm telling you, he fed. The angel of the Lord fed and it went on the strength for 40 days. But see, that ain't all he did. He didn't just feed him. Are y'all still hanging with me this morning? They was a tree supplied. There was food provided. There was strength given, all right? But then they was sheltered. Down in verse 9. Said he came thither into a cave and lodged there. See, I want you to understand this past week that we come and we request a revival from God and request a stir from God and God stirred our heart. He's not going to just turn you away. He's going to help you. He's going to help you this week. It's going to get tough this week, but He'll help you this week. He'll let you rest. He's going to give you some shelter. See, Elijah found some shelter in a cave. Did you ever notice where the cave was? There's some, I've been reading this, there's some things I never noticed. I never really realized that the cave was in Mount Horeb. Mount Sinai. Where Moses met God. Where Moses saw his hinder parts. Huh? Can I tell you that this week, if we'll just go ahead and get up under that Jupiter tree. Huh? If we're going to get up under the cross and let Him feed us, we might just see His presence. He might just go ahead and speak to us. Huh? Because He ain't in the storm. He's not in the lightning and the rain. And He's not in the thunder and all that. But He is in that still, small voice. Huh? And He'll help you this week. Don't let the enemy slick you. Where do we go from here? I'm going to find me a tree to get under. I'm going to find me a cave to get in. Boy, I'm going to rest a little bit this week. And let it soak in what I've heard. Let it soak in and enjoy the mighty power of God that has filled my soul this past week. Be all right. But see, that ain't all there is, though. That ain't all. See, what I see Satan after me. And then I see the supply of God is available. Satan is always attacking, but God's supply is always available. All right? And then I want you to think about this, that surrender is not an option. Amen. Surrender is not an option. I'm sorry, I ain't got much backup in me. I have a hard time backing up. And I'm trying to determine not to have any. Now, I'm not being bold or trying to be mean, but I'm trying to draw the line a little tighter that there ain't no give. Huh? It'd be good if we all just done that, that we didn't back up on what was right. See, when you stand for something, all right, when attacks come, it makes you want to compromise. Attacks will come and there'll be pressures come and make you want to back up just a little bit. But I used to think, well, I need to be mellow. That's what everybody always wanted me to be. Tony Shirt, everybody'd laugh and tell me I need to mellow out. And so you mellow out a little bit, but you ain't going to back up, but you'll be prone to go sideways. Hello. Yeah, I think the Bible says that we ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And unmovable, ain't gonna be, I'm having a hard time backing up. Right? But here's what I find. We can't surrender. If I read here, if we go on over and read, I don't know, we read around verse 12, 13, we said 12, verse 12 has a still small voice. We still okay? Verse 13, there come a voice that said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And Elijah says, well, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one left. He said, no, you ain't. No, you ain't. I want you to understand, we don't have a corner on God at Mountain State Baptist Church. God has given us a good place, but this ain't the only place. God give us some great freedom, but this ain't the only place that's free. God will give us a lot of Bible, but this ain't the only place that teaches the Bible. And we better not ever get up to where we got our nose stuck up in there, because when it rains, you'll drown. Are you listening to me? Let me say it again. If you get to high up when you get your nose turned up when it rains, you'll drown. We okay? Everybody understand that? You say, well, where's that no surrender? Well, it says verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And now here's the reason. Here's the reason there can't be no surrender. And I never saw this till yesterday. I was here at the church yesterday morning, and I never saw this till yesterday. Now, I knew it happened, but it never hit me like this, and I'm going to quit. It says, and the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And he said, well, what's that mean? Well, when Elijah left the cave and left the presence of the Lord, he went and done exactly what God said. Yes. But it wasn't for then. He anointed Hazael and Jehu, but they weren't kings when he anointed them. It was future. He anointed Elisha, but Elisha didn't take over. Not until Elijah went to be the Lord. Our revival ain't just for us.
Amen.
Our revival is for the next generation.
Amen.
We've got to keep, we can't surrender today because we've got Layla and Hannah and Ava and Mason and Bella and Shayla and Cupcake and Baby Hog and Lexi, all the ones, we got to keep on for them. We got them kids downstairs. We got them babies that's sitting around in the laps of moms and dads and pawpaws and momos this morning. We got a nursery full back there. And we've got to come on out of the cave from the presence of the Lord and go ahead and make sure we keep on for the younger generation. See, I was raised where they had revivals and where they shouted and where we saw people saved and the glory of God would fall. But can I tell you, these young people ain't seen it. And I can't surrender. I can't surrender just because I get attacked a little bit. That makes sense to you this morning. Satan attacks. He attacks. He does. But the supply is available. Huh? And there's no surrender accepted. Hey, that's double L rated. You ought to be able to remember that. Huh? Think about that. Huh? Can't beat a college education, Brother Rick. Can't beat it. Listen to me this morning. Cheryl, you go to piano. Let me ask you something this morning. Did you get stirred? Did you get stirred this week? You raised your hand or you got stirred? Are you ready for the battle? Huh? Are you ready for the battle now? Don't think if you're going to go to the beach. Have revival and go to the beach and sip iced tea and sit in the sun and everything peaceful. That ain't going to happen. You ain't going to soak your feet in blue water. That ain't going to happen. You have revival, there's going to be some hands need clipped off.
Yeah. Right.
Be a battle. Yeah. Satan's going to attack you, but there's wonder supply.
Yeah.
But there's no surrender accepted.
Yeah.
So you hang in there this week. You pray at 10, pray at 3, or pray at 7, however you want to do it. Don't quit that. Be here Wednesday night. Go ahead and make that decision. You're going to be here Wednesday night, next Sunday morning, next Sunday night. Go ahead. See, I told you the other day, I made that decision in 1982. That I was not going to lay out, that I was going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and whatever the midweek service is. That I was just going to, I went and made that decision. I'm going. Now, I've had to work sometimes. I've had to work late. I've had to go out on midnights on Sunday night. I'd pastor and work on midnights. I'd preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, go out on the midnight shift. I understand all that. Anybody talk to me about work, I know that. I've worked. Y'all don't believe that, I know, but I've worked. I've stood in a 3x5 square for 32 straight hours running a piece of machinery in a machine shop. One lunch break, two 15-minute breaks, and one lunch break. It's all they allow me. 32 straight hours. Huh? I know what it's like to work. I worked 106 hours one week, preached 9 times. Figure that now. Preach 9 times from Sunday to Sunday and worked 106 hours. So don't talk to me that you're tired. I know what tired is. Huh? I understand that. But there's got to be a commitment somewhere. We can't just run. See, Elijah run south instead of north. He should have went to Israel. He went to Judah. On the map, he should have went here and he went there. Don't do that. But if you do run, there's still help. I want you to come to God. Be ready for the battle. Did I help you at all this morning? But now listen to me. Are you saved this morning? You've done missed a week of chances. You've done missed a week of chances of getting saved. It'd have been the easiest time to have gotten saved would have been this past week. You ain't going to find it much easier than that. Wednesday night when Brother Dennis preached on looking to me all ye ends of the earth and be saved, for I am the Lord and there is none else. Can I say that might have been the simplest salvation message I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Huh? If you ain't saved this morning, you ought to come. Go ahead and get in this thing. We're not going to put you out on the front line by yourself. We're going to help you. We're going to huddle around you. Huh? We're going to carry you. We'll help you. If you ain't where you ought to be. You didn't come this past week because you wasn't where you ought to be. But you can get right this morning. Where do we go from here, preacher? You tell me. You tell me, where are you going to go from here? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Father, help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.